Good morning, and welcome to worship this fine Sunday morning. Hopefully there's weather. And hopefully it's not white. We have a few announcements as we begin this morning. As we get to our announcements, you might want to remember that you will need your items for communion, your offering that is in an envelope stamped and addressed to the church. Perhaps today a Bible would be handy to have. And perhaps a candle, if you'd like. And find a comfortable place to sit around your table. We have two important announcements this morning. One is, you heard this one last week, and that is, we are still cleaning the church, so please do not come into the building, even if you have a key, even when no one's here, please do not come in. Please call the church office if you need something, and we will make arrangements to get things to you. We will work with you. We're really good at that, and it would be very helpful in the cleaning process to keep everybody out so that that can be done. So, the other announcement I would like to make, and this may be a moot point by the time worship starts, but as of the recording time, please do not listen to the mayor of Casper. Church, we are not going to join together in the sanctuary for church today. It is closed. Hopefully you're listening to this at home. There have been rumors around town in the newspaper and across the phone lines that churches are going to start back up today, Mother's Day, May 10th. That is not true. We will let everyone here know when it is time to come back to the sanctuary on Sundays for worship. We have the elders working on that. We have a small committee working on a reopening plan that has, an initial plan has been formed, and now it's going to be tweaked, and these are wonderful people working on your best interest, and everyone will be informed when we are going to gather back together again. No one will be left out. And if you have any questions about that, again, you may also call the church office, but please don't come down here. If you came down here today, we are not here. So we hope you're enjoying this in the loveliness of your own home. So are there any other announcements today? Anybody? I don't think we have any. Today we are glad to have Janice Cooey with us for our special music. And with that, Kathy, let's begin the worship service with the prelude.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. And now we continue with the call to worship. God is in our midst, forming us to be God's own people.
Though the way may be difficult, God will be with us.
We need not fear.
In the Lord we will take our refuge, for God is our strength.
Come to the Lord, who will surround you with God's own righteousness.
God will open our hearts and our spirits so that we may become faithful disciples of Jesus.
Let us worship God.
We are not alone. Thanks be to God.
Our first hymn this morning is number 2, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee.
Let us pray. O guiding God, our journey now appears to be treacherous and dangerous. We sometimes stray from our belief that you are with us always. O God, we do need to take refuge in you, because you are our strength. You open our hearts and let the light of your love shine on all of mankind. We do understand that we are not alone, and our belief in you is the belief that God and Jesus are one in the same. Let us pray the prayer that you taught us to say. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who've sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen. In Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. The Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord.
Janice, thank you very much. Hey, Janice, great minds think alike. That song, that's a good song. Oh, goodness. Now we come to our children's time. And today is a significant day. Oh, that I forgot about, and I'll talk about in a minute. Wait a minute. Got to write this down. See? It's almost next thing to be in there. Next best thing to be in there. Kind of like a Hallmark card. Okay. So, for more generations than we can remember, it has been the practice of the church to mark significant milestones and turning points in the lives of God's people. We celebrate the births of babies. We rejoice as couples marry. We bless our young people as they graduate from high school and college. And today, we are delighted to honor and name the beginning of a new stage of growth and learning for our children who are finishing the second grade. This year, we have three amazing children to honor. And so, as I call your name, please walk closer to the computer at home. Asher Rieslov. Asher is finishing second grade at Park Elementary School. Asher, when he is not in school, he likes to be outdoors, spending time with his pets. He likes to be digging up worms and bugs and riding his bike, and he likes playing with his friends. Colin Stewart, get up close to the computer there, Colin. Oh, there you are. He is also finishing second grade at Park Elementary School. When he is not in school, Colin likes to play games, use his iPad. He plays the piano and he loves to read. Right now, he is reading the Harry Potter books. Ember Sy, Ember, there you are. Ember is finishing second grade at Paradise Valley Elementary School, where she and her brother are in the Chinese dual immersion program. Ember likes to dance hip hop. She is becoming a talented gymnast, and she likes to practice her Chinese language skills with her brother Connor and her grandparents. Asher, Colin, and Ember, we hope you will use your new Bibles well. They are a sign of our love for you. The stories you read here will help you to grow and to become the wonderful person that God made you to be. These stories will tell you who you are as God's beloved child, and they will teach you about God and about Jesus. Your church family is proud of each one of you. And remember, reading is one of the best gifts of God in the entire world. Even though we are not able to present them here in worship as one congregation, you will be receiving your new Bibles this week at home. We are thankful that you, Asher, Colin, and Ember, are a part of our church family. And so now, all of us, together we will join our hearts as one in prayer as we give thanks to God for each one of you. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for making us to be like you. Thank you for the gift of reading and new Bibles so that we may learn about you, about Jesus, and about who we are as your beloved children. Bless Asher, Colin, and Ember as they continue to grow in fullness and stature as Jesus did. May we teach them, love them, and care for them as others loved us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And now, y'all can step back from the computer screen and go play. Oh, by the way, I'll be around to your house this week sometime. So, watch for my car. And now we come to our time of prayer and our joys and concerns. We're starting a new thing this week that will work better when we're all together, and I will admit how I haven't quite figured out the logistics of the whole thing yet. But first, I'd like to thank Nancy Vreeland. I asked Nancy to make a congregational prayer blanket suitable for men and women and something that could be washed a lot. So she did that, and it's a prayer blanket that we're going to pass around each week. And it's not just going to be passed around to folks who are in need of prayers of concern, but prayers of joy and thanksgiving as well. And so I thought, since I have this and since Nancy has worked so hard on it, we would start it today. And so today, the prayer blanket is going home for a week with Kathy, you, because we would not have survived this pandemic without Kathy. And personally, I'm very thankful and joyful and grateful and all that stuff for you, because you, I don't know if people know how hard you work here. So this is a blanket of joy and joyful prayers for you. So take that home. When you look at it, remember that these are prayers of joy. Lift it up to heaven for you, okay? Thank you. All righty. Okay. Let's see. Okay, the other joy that I forgot at the beginning was, yes, it's Mother's Day. Yeah, I forgot that. Why? Because I always work on Mother's Day, so it's, you know, one of those days. So, everybody who ever had a mother, raise your hand. Okay, look, everyone's hand is up. Isn't that nice? Today we are grateful for the love, encouragement, the sacrifices of all the women in our lives, mothers, aunties, grandmothers, friends and neighbors. We also remember all those women who have been desperate to become mothers but have not been able to do that. We are lifting them up in prayer and thanksgiving on this day when we remember those who are holding our families together. Also, Cal had his surgery on his back this week, and he is at home tomorrow. But as of today, on Sunday, he is at home. He will have his next surgery done in 6 weeks. Mike Ward had another chemotherapy treatment this week, and that's good news, so he's got another one down. Lonnie began her radiation treatments today, so she is making progress there. Let's see. I think we all need to think like it's Christmas Eve and we are 10 years old. And we can't wait for Santa to come, and nobody wants to go to bed, nobody wants to go to sleep, and we just want Santa to come right now, 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 now. That's how we all feel about coming back to church. But we need to be patient a little bit longer. So we need to pray for patience for our country, our community, and our church. A little bit of patience will go a long way over these next couple of weeks. This is the hard part, friends. This is the hard part. We have heard that Jim and Trish Nichols are moving to Billings. They are moving home to be near their children. They are, this is the surprise, they are loading up and moving out on, they already moved out yesterday, Saturday. So you all will have already helped them pack up and go. We have their new address in the church office. If you would like it, give us a call. We wish them well with all of our blessings on their way, and we will miss them dearly. Let me see. We want to remember Monica, who is over at Shepherd of the Valley, and Dorothy Smith, who's over at Shepherd of the Valley, Ed Struby, the Stewarts, and because it's so near the end of the school year, Rick, I'm looking at you. See? Patience. Christmas Eve, I'm telling you. We need to pray for our teachers. Amber, I'm looking at you too. Teachers. You're out of my line of sight. Our teachers, our parents, and all of our school kids, because again, this is the hard part. So, are there any other joys or concerns to share today that I've forgotten? That's a list of them. Let's join together in prayer. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Come upon us this day, we pray, as you came upon and continue to come upon your disciples across the ages. Help us to feel your Spirit blow through us, a Spirit that binds us in covenant and in communion with you wherever we are, and with all of your sons and daughters of every time and every place. This day we ask that you would touch us with your compassionate hand, that we might be empowered by your Spirit to work for healing and love. Touch us and strengthen us with your mercy, that we might be made channels of love and grace, compassion and hope to others. We thank you, Divine Spirit, for the many gifts you bring to us. We thank you for all those who taught us to read. And on this day, we are thankful for mothers, for aunts, aunties, grandmothers, friends and neighbors, all the women in our lives who have cared for us. We pray for young mothers who are just beginning the journey of parenthood. We pray for mothers who have died, but whose spirits remain such a vital presence in our lives. We ask that you would awaken in all of us a nurturing spirit, a caring spirit towards one another and toward all of creation. We also thank you, O God, for the gift of families, for the love shared and the gift of children and young people. Help all of us to renew our commitment to nurture the growth and development of those who share our homes and who share our churches with us. May we not get too busy or too harried or too preoccupied with the details of life that we fail to feel the gentle breeze of your spirit even as we are at home. Continue to surprise us and renew us this day and every day, that we might be continually opened to your presence in our midst. We pray these things in the name and in the Spirit of the living God made known to us in Jesus. Amen.
We've now come to the communion part of our service. Undoubtedly, you have a small piece of bread and maybe a small cup of juice in front of you. That has a significance because you're listening to this. It's church service. But if this was Tuesday morning or Wednesday afternoon, and you came around the corner and all there was on the table was a little piece of bread and a thimble full of juice, it might be an irritant to you. Who left this out here? Why didn't you clean it up? Why didn't you go ahead and eat it and drink it and then throw the cup away so I don't have to do it? But here's what I want you to do this week. When you come around the corner and see a bit of bread on the table or a small amount of juice left in the cup, rather than get mad, stop. Close your eyes and imagine the communion table with the cup and the bread on it. Because what this will mean to you is that God is with us each and every day and each and every moment. And through that bread and through that tiny cup of juice that was left in that is a reminder that he loves us. Let us sing our communion hymn, number 398, Be Known to Us in Breaking Bread.
Save your abode.
And on the night before he died, Jesus sat down to eat supper with his friends. And while they were eating, he took bread, he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to them and said, "This is my body given for you. Do this to remember me." And after supper, he took a cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, which is for you. As often as you drink this, do so to remember me."
O loving and guiding God, we are joyful in the opportunity to come and partake of the bread and of the cup. Let us never forget that your Son came to us to lead us, to guide us on our path. And even though we can't see him right now, we know he is with us because we believe that your life, your love, and the hope that you give each and every one comes to us through this bit of bread and the juice. God, bless these items to our nourishment of our soul. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
There is no doubt that many of us, if not all of us, in the last 6 weeks or so, have prayed for the miracle that COVID-19 would just disappear from the earth. But the fact of the matter is that's not how miracles work. Miracles work through the fact that we believe in God and we believe that we can do the things, maybe even greater works, through us for the betterment of men. Help us do this. They allow us to spread God's love, His hope, and His joy in times like this when we need that so desperately. So dig in your pockets, find that extra dollar, and bring it to the church. Oh, Father, we present these tithes and offering for your use, for the greater of mankind, for the miracle within each and every one of us as we allow ourselves to be with Jesus and to believe that you are the light of this world. In these things we pray. Amen.
First scripture reading this morning is from Psalm 31, verses 1 through 5, and verses 14 through 24. In you, O Lord, I seek refuge. Do not let me ever be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me, rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. You are indeed my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Take me out of the net that is hidden for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and persecutors. Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. Do not let me be put to shame, O Lord, for I call on you. Let the wicked be put to shame. Let them go dumbfounded to Sheol. Let the lying lips be stilled that speak insolently against the righteous with pride and contempt. Oh, how abundant is your goodness that you have laid up for those who fear you and accomplished for those who take refuge in you in the sight of everyone. In the shelter of your presence, you hide them from human plots. You hold them safe under your shelter from contentious tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for God has wondrously shown his steadfast love to me when I was beset as a city under siege. I had said in my alarm, I am driven far from your sight. But you heard my supplications when I cried out to you for help. Love the Lord, all of you God's saints. The Lord preserves the faithful, but abundantly repays the one who acts haughtily. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord. And our gospel lesson comes from John chapter 14, verses 1 through 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, I have been with you all this time, Philip, and still you do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. So about 1,000 years ago, just before I began my new job as the associate minister of First Christian Church in Las Vegas, Vegas, baby. My husband John and I and our one-year-old daughter at the time, Tova, visited the Presbyterian church that was not far from our new home, right there off Sahara Boulevard, our home was, anyway. The whole front wall of the church was stained glass with pictures from the life of Jesus. And when the sun was shining through it, it was magnificent, much like this one here in the front of our sanctuary. The centerpiece, again, exactly like ours, the centerpiece of the wall was of Jesus as a shepherd. And the scripture verse curved around the top of the window was this: I am the way, the truth, and the light. That bugged me for the entire service. And there were no pew Bibles near, and I began to wonder if maybe I had remembered it wrong. Because I always thought that verse had read, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So I asked the pastor about it after church, introduced myself as the new associate. He introduced himself. I said, what, is that right? I thought it was something else. And he said, the glass artist was a Mormon, and the verse reads light instead of life in the Mormon Bible. Now at the time, Vegas had a very large swiftly growing Mormon population, and they were in the process of building a temple right there in Las Vegas. And as I was very young and not yet myself, not yet secure in my own knowledge and, let's just say, certain abilities and talents, I figured the Presbyterian pastor might be right, and so I didn't think twice about it. Well, come to find out many years later, he didn't know what he was talking about. The Mormon Church uses the King James Version of the Bible just like we do, and John 14:6 reads, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So I decided the window must have been done by a Gnostic, because Gnostics, in the time of Jesus and in the time of the Gospel of John was written, believed that life is consciousness, and consciousness is light, and so life is light, and life and light are interchangeable, and that lovely window was just wrong, because who knows why it was wrong? Probably because somebody made a mistake, and no one caught it until it was too late. So, what I do know is this, that words, even little words, are important, especially in the matters of faith. And I know that this verse, the words of this verse in the Gospel of John, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." These words have been used as a club and a sword to beat and condemn people for centuries. Christians across the centuries have used half of this verse against people of other faith traditions to prove other religions false. Christians across the centuries have used half of this verse to prove that people who practice other faith traditions are not true believers in the God of all. Christians have even used it as a weapon against other Christians who do not believe the same things I do, who do not interpret Scripture as I do, who do not practice their faith as I do. I know this because it's been used on me. When we do that, when we use Scripture to beat and to judge the faith of another, the sin is ours. And we misunderstand and we abuse Scripture. Thanks be to God for Martin Luther, who got Bibles translated into the language people understood. Thanks be to God for Martin Luther, who got those Bibles printed and into the hands of people, everyday people, so we could read and interpret and understand Scripture for ourselves and not have to rely on someone else to tell it what it means. Thanks be to God for Barton Stone, Alexander Campbell, Walter Scott, Raccoon John Smith, who believed that we, as the Restoration Movement, should engage in thoughtful and serious study of the Bible, and that means we don't always agree. That's what we sign up for as a part of the Christian Church Disciples of Christ. Learning Scripture, interpreting Scripture, understanding Scripture takes work. And for people of faith, it takes a lifetime. There is always something new to learn, even from the longest held verses in our memories. And it isn't easy. This wonderful verse is found only in the Gospel of John. And it is a hard one. This one takes some work. It's important for us to remember that this wasn't written with our contemporary world culture in mind, and we need to be careful not to lay our worldview on it. issues facing the 21st century global community are not being addressed here. Issues facing the first and second century church are. That's a huge difference. And in the study of Scripture, it is always important to look at and consider the context, where the verse is located within the larger story of the gospel is important, particularly here. John 14, verse 6, sits near the beginning of what is referred to as the last discourse or the farewell discourse of Jesus in John's gospel. The farewell discourse in chapters 13 through 17 is the table conversation of the Last Supper in John's gospel. John doesn't tell us about the supper itself. There are no words of institution. There is no story of the Last Supper. John tells us about the conversation around the table. You see, Jesus had things he needed to tell his friends before he left. And where better to do that than around a table, sharing a meal with those you love, those who are closest to you. This long speech and prayer of Jesus is his last words to his friends, to his disciples, before his arrest, his trial, and his crucifixion. Chapter 13 begins. Now, before the festival of Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And chapter 17 ends, "Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them." Jesus knows what is about to happen. He knows his death is near, and so he gathers his friends for that meal, which would be the last one they would share together. This time, Jesus does the inviting. Jesus does the welcoming. This time, Jesus is the host, not the guest. He washes their feet as an act of hospitality and humility. The host then becomes the servant. He predicts Judas' betrayal and Peter's denial, and then he begins his final words, his final instructions, his final gift of love and hope for his friends before he dies. So what do you say when you know an end is near? What do you say when you know leave-taking is about to happen? Children move away. A father travels far for work. A mother goes to war. What do you say when a way of life is suddenly gone? What do you say? Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. You know, the word love occurs 57 times in John's gospel. And 34 of those are found here in this last word of Jesus to his friends. Around the table, Jesus is speaking words of love and comfort to his disciples who have been with him from the beginning. who have followed him into villages and towns through Judea and Samaria, across river and sea and countryside. His friends who are now afraid and confused and troubled because their teacher, their Lord, the one on whom they rely and depend for light and life and all things good, is leaving them. To these dear friends who are afraid and confused and troubled, Jesus now speaks words of love and comfort. Nan Sawyer thinks of these words of Jesus to his beloved disciples as a love sonnet. How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. Love one another as I have loved you. I will not leave you orphaned. Peace I leave with you. I do not call you servants. I call you friends. I have said these things to keep you from stumbling. Your pain will turn to joy. Take courage. I have overcome the world. All of these, including I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, are spoken for comfort. They are spoken to ease the burden of fear and anxiety of his friends, his followers, his disciples. Just before he leaves them, just before he is arrested, tried, and crucified, just before the deepest, darkest night, Jesus says, "Do not let your heart be troubled, shaken, or stirred up. Do not let your heart be disturbed, unsettled, or thrown into confusion." Thomas, our fearless disciple, is beginning to worry, though. He doesn't know where Jesus is going and has no idea how to get to him. Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? You can almost feel the fear in the room. But Jesus doesn't feed their fear. Jesus is the calm in the midst of the storm. Jesus is the stillness in the chaos. It's all right. It's going to be all right. You know it. You've seen it. You've heard it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is love and comfort and assurance to troubled disciples. The gospel writer is writing love and comfort to the anxious Christian community. Gospel writer isn't writing to the world, not to pagans, not to Parthians, not to atheists, not Buddhists, not Hindus or Muslims. And by the way, it's important to remember that the practice of Islam didn't even begin until well into the 6th century. Jesus is not providing a litmus test to be used among Christians in 21st century America. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. The gospel writer is writing to Christians. And this word of love and comfort, this word of strength and assurance and hope, this word is to and for troubled Christians. For disciples of Jesus, our way is Jesus. Our truth is Jesus. Our life is found in Jesus. For disciples of Jesus, we come to the Father through Jesus. For Christians, not one of us comes to the Father except through Jesus. And for Christians, the question raised by this verse isn't addressed to the world. The question raised here is directed solely at us. Am I living the Jesus way? Am I living the Jesus truth? Am I living the Jesus life? When was the last time we thought of that? Saved is the name of a high school teen comedy, kind of, that was made many, many, many years ago when Macaulay Culkin and Mandy Moore were teenagers. My daughter Hava and I love it, and we watch it whenever we can find it on. And let me just say this, it is really not for everybody. It is not for everybody. One reviewer once called it a sweet-tempered satire about Christian fundamentalism. So it's about two groups of teenage friends at American Eagle Christian High School. Hillary is the wealthy, most popular, loudest Jesus praiser in the school. She is more Christian than anybody in the school. And Mary is Hillary's best friend until Mary becomes pregnant. And Hillary turns on Mary, and Mary, of course, becomes an outcast at school. But then Hillary decides to try and save Mary again. In one scene, Hillary is seen yelling at Mary to turn away from Satan and turn to the love of Jesus. And pregnant Mary tells Hillary, "You know nothing about love." And so Mary turns and walks away. And as Mary is found walking away, Hillary responds by screaming, "I am filled with the love of Jesus." And then she throws her Bible and hits Mary squarely in the back. Mary picks up the Bible, turns around, takes it back to Hillary, and says, "This is not a weapon. The Bible is not a weapon. Our sacred stories are not to be used to condemn or inflict violence on others. They are not to be used by us to bring judgment upon another. That job, friends, is not ours. The purpose of sacred story is to teach, to open our thinking to the ways of God, to guide us as we live and breathe and move and have our being in the light and the love of God who gives us life. Scripture is never intended to be used for violence or destruction. Scripture is always to be used for life, for abundant life, for life that never ends. George Herbert, a pastor, the poet, 17th, 18th century, I think, may have understood this little piece of scripture better than any scholar or any preacher of any century. His poem, The Call, reads this way: "Come my way, my truth, my life, such a way as gives us breath, such a truth as ends all strife, such a life as killeth death. Come, my light, my feast, my strength, such a light as shows a feast, such a feast as mends in length, such a strength as makes his guest. Come, my joy, my love, my heart, such a joy as none can move, such a love as none can part, such a heart as joys in love." May God bless each one of us with such a heart as joys in love. Let us pray. God of all, lead us in your way, that we may know you as our way, our truth, and our life. Open our hearts and fill us with love for all of your children and all of your creation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn today is number 432. Come, my way, my truth, my life. Everyone know what is going on with the plan to reopen, so just a little bit of patience, a little bit longer. We will let you know. We're working on it. And now may the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah be with you all as we go forth in peace to love and serve the Lord another week. Amen.